Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Jane, and today we are joined by Andrea.
Andrea is a para coach, and her alter ego, Megara Fury, is Scotland's top dominatrix, according to The Sun. She helps people in both roles to transform their lives and relationships by creating a place to feel seen, heard and validated, and a safe space to explore themselves. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
I mean, that's quite a lot of things you do. Can you just give us a kind of outline of what it all involves?
So yeah, I do the same thing in both spaces is probably the easiest way to describe it. And what that thing is I create a space for people to just explore bits of themselves that they've never discovered before or that have been hidden from their view. So there's loads of different bits of our lives that and ways that we react and things that we're into that are just in our blind spots, and that's all that's happening. So when it comes to the coaching space, there's a big focus on what's your relationship with yourself like and getting a deeper understanding of that. And in the dungeon space, it's about what's your relationship to your sexuality and your kinks, and let's get a deeper understanding of that. So either space, it's the same thing.
Do you find it difficult to get people to bring out like their deepest, darkest kind of their relationships with themselves, or is it quite easy and it flows?
It depends on the person. It depends on whether they are A, open to it, and B, willing to give up whatever's in the space for them at that moment and just be vulnerable. And if people can give that up, if they can give up the embarrassment or the trying to come across a certain way, thinking that they're going to look better or not look worse or whatever that is, that's how they get the most out of it. It's being able to just give up whatever that is and just.
So is your dungeon in your house, or is it another kind of office area?
So I live in a big two-bedroom flat, and the dungeon's actually directly underneath in the basement.
And what can you give us a kind of like a description of what it looks like?
Yeah, sorry. So you go into the doors, and there's a gym area where I usually just do my training. And then through the next door, it opens up into like I call it a neon trash side of the dungeon, because it's all kind of plastic and garish and shiny things and neons and all of these kind of things. And there's a huge mirror at the front, which has got it's a big Hollywood mirror. It's got all the light bulbs around it for people that like to do dress up and want that kind of experience of like feeling glam. There's a gynecological chair. There's a two-person bathtub, a big roll-top freestanding bath. And then if you go to your right, then there's an open plan toilet. So basically it's just a toilet pan and no one gets privacy. If you go a little bit further, there's more the sort of traditional end where there's it's quite dark, it's quite kind of atmospheric. And then if you go all the way around to your left and kind of almost back on yourself, there's a jail cell, is there. It's quite small, but it's still.
Phil's getting all excited.
So how did you get into being a dominatrix? Like, how did that come about?
That's a great question. So I used to be really against the adult industry, right? And I was very prejudiced because I didn't understand it. And because I was making it mean something about myself, right? So I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't as pretty as those other girls, or, you know, if I said that it was okay, then all of a sudden my boyfriend would leave me and all of that stuff. So I had a lot of that going on, a lot of insecurity. And I was working in a car garage, so I was selling cars. And we were all going out one night. It was a staff night out. And the guys from work said to us, like, do you want to go to a strip club? In fact, they said, do you want to go to a chicken dippers, right? And I thought we were getting food. So I was like, food? Yeah, I want food. Like McDonald's or something.
I would have thought the
Four
same.
Corners, and they were
I
like,
I would have thought, oh, food.
Yeah, and they were like, no, we're going to go to the strippers. And I was like, that's not for me. I was like so indignant. And they were like, oh, fucking loosen up a bit here. Like, just, you'll have a good time. I guarantee you'll have a great night. And I was like, right, okay. Because my insecurities, I was battling between, like, do I go to the strip club and actually really have to lean into this? Or do I look like...
Yeah, of course.
Can I swear on this?
Of course you can.
I look like a shite bag in front of my work colleagues, right? And I didn't want to look like I was some sort of party pooper. So we ended up going to the strip club, and I walked through the doors, and I just, like, the energy of the place, I instantly was like, I need to do this. This is amazing. I love it. I love every bit of it. And then I was listening to some of the girls talking, and I'm from a sales background, so I was like, I had that kind of listening of it, like, I could make money at this because there's money to be made here. And so I started off as a stripper, and then I was talking to a guy at work one night who knew of a dominatrix that was looking for someone to train, and we got chatting about that. And I used to get a lot of guys who were kinky coming to see me specifically in the strip club because I was always interested in talking about all the weird stuff they were into. And he said there was a dominatrix looking for someone to train, and I said, right, put us in contact, or give me a way to get in contact with her. So he gave me her details, and then I contacted her, and I went up and we did a couple of sessions together, and she was like, you can just start booking people in, you will be fine. And that was it, and I started off there. I stayed there for about a year, and then I realised that this was for me and I wanted to go and start my own place. So that's what I did. I started off with one paddle, one strap on, and a little bit of rope. That was it. It's all I had in my imagination. And I just went from there. And now I've got this like massive dungeon, which I just love, and it's got everything that I could ever imagine in it, and like it's created a whole
lifestyle.
So
you put Christian Grey to shame, mate. Probably.
Christian Grey would be my sub, like.
Actually, what did you think of that movie?
See,
and the book, actually, you read the books.
So, yeah, loads of people asked me about it when it came out, and people kept tagging me and things. It was newspapers phoning me up asking for comment and all that. And to be honest, like, a lot of these things are really, they're portrayed in such a way that you can tell it's been written by someone that's got no experience of the kink scene. Like, and it kind of annoys me when that happens a little bit, because I'm like, there's so much more to this. If you would just take the time, I know you're scared or you're worried about what you might find out or whatever, so you just make it up in your head to stay safe. But the same happened with Bonding. Do you remember Bonding that was on Netflix?
Oh, I've not seen that. I need to check that out.
So it is pretty good, right? But she goes into the dungeon, and the dungeon has a white fluffy carpet. And I'm like, I know the bodily fluids that fly about a dungeon. Fluffy carpet is never happening, right? And so that killed it for me, because I was like, can you not just have a rubber floor?
Yeah.
It's probably a cost you less.
It's clean.
Yeah, please just take this, the details that yeah. So with that movie, I didn't really have that much of an opinion on it. I was just like, oh, it's just another person that's got no experience in the kink scene trying to write something about something. It's like me trying to write a book about
women.
Like,
you know. See, I've spoken to quite a few people that like been strippers before, and they said that they found the hardest part. Well, they found that it was less of the hardest part to do was the therapy that they were giving to people, like talking to people. They said that everybody like misconstrues the industry and everything like that, but really, they're just people that listen to people when they talk.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is. People are there oh, right, there's boobs and there's bums and all of that kind of stuff. But really what people are there for, because they want to connect. And that's really what it boils down to. They want a space where somebody will pay them attention and not judge them.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Don't we all want that?
So exactly. How do you get clients? Like, how do they approach you? Do you have like a consultation and figure out what they are into? How does it all work?
So there's a few different ways that I get clients. The main advertising platform that I use, I used to be on everything, right? And I was like, I need to be there, or I'm never going to get any business. I've let go of all of that. I use Twitter. That's it. People know I've been around for nearly 14 years, and you know I've built up my following to 40,000 followers. Like, I think I can relax a wee bit on the marketing. So I'm on Twitter. And what I used to do was do the phone call and the back and forth and the emailing ping pong of like, what about this date? Not kind of that. What about this date? And I thought, fuck this. So I've automated it. And I learned how to do this in the coaching business. So when I was coaching, it's like a booking system that we use, and people just book straight into your calendar. And I thought, okay. And they can take payments through that. So I thought, well, why don't I just do this? So now I've got a booking link. People go in, I ask them all the questions I need to ask them, plus I get them to agree to certain terms and conditions. So you will send me a picture of a negative lateral flow test so that I know that you're negative for COVID. You'll confirm before 9 a.m. and you will let me know if you get COVID, and then we can reschedule. And I get them to agree to those things. And then when they're coming for their session, if they don't confirm, I can go, I've got it in writing. You said you'd confirm, so you agreed to this. And now you've lost your deposit. Or, you know, you said that you would send me a lateral flow test. You haven't done it. Where is that? So now I can build an accountability with people and make sure that they stick to their word.
Yeah. How do you find, obviously, dating or being in relationships in terms of them asking what you do, and how does that go together?
So that's a question I get asked a lot, and and the thing that affected my dating was me rather than the job, right? It's how I was being and what I was, the way that I was seeing myself, and I got to find that out through coaching. Right now, as it stands,
congratulations. You're going to be like, I'm going to wear a leather dress.
No, I'm actually, right, so this is the thing, right? I'm actually really conservative with things, right? And like quite traditional with relationships and stuff. I am staunchly monogamous, and like I want the marriage and then the kids and the, like, I want all of that stuff. I'm very traditional with that kind of thing. But in terms of our relationship and my work, it's no different to if I was a gynecologist and I was looking at genitals all day. Like, the way that I distinguish this is, if you could imagine like a mechanic, and the mechanic sees cars, other people's cars all day, and they're just going past, and it's like, oh, another engine. There's no reaction to that, right? So we might get excited about fixing a certain thing or whatever, but there's no real thing. If you take the same mechanic and he's got a classic car that he's restoring, right? This is pride and joy. Or, you know, this, he's brand new, whatever it is that he's driving, like a Lamborghini or something like that, right? Or a Merc. And he will take care of that in a very different way than what he will everybody else's cars, right? And that's the way that I distinguish between the two. So Andy, my partner, he's my pride and joy. He's at home. He's the thing that I take care of. And out with that, and not to be cold, you know, I do my absolute best, and I'm a brilliant dominatrix. But I make sure that, you know, there's that separation.
That's a great way of framing it. That's actually amazing the way you've said it, because it's just, it all makes sense.
I do love that.
Yeah, and it's like, if I go and get a smear test, I don't expect the guy to treat if it's a guy, I don't expect him to treat my vagina the way he treats his wife's. Like, there's a professional boundary in there. There's a separation. So, and I don't want it to be like, listen, that was really great. Join me for coffee. Like, I'd be out of there in a second.
Can you imagine?
Or like, oh, nice flat.
So, does your partner, does he ask questions? Like, do you keep your work life separate and not talk about it when you get home? Or does he ever say, what was your clients like today? What did you do? Do you have any of that kind of conversation?
So we only really talk about the funny stuff, like just the way I would talk about any other job, you know, it would be the highlights of the day. So like the other day I had someone in and he was running a beep test, but I'd tied his balls on his big toes. And he was running up and down the dungeon. So I texted Andy and I was like, you'll never guess what I did today. And he's like, what? And I went, I tied a guy's balls to his toes and I made him run a beep test. And he's like, the fuck is wrong with you? That does not sound fun. And I'm like,
yeah, I just got this picture in my head right now. So what kind of other things, do that are kind of unusual that people would ask you to do?
So, God, unusual is a concept that has been long gone in my mind for a long time. But in terms of like stuff that people ask me to do, it's such a varied thing. You know, it goes from people wanting food chucked over them to someone that wanted me to dress up like a fisherman, like in a full fisherman's outfit, and pretend I was a game show host. Oh, wow. And I had a big black dildo in my hand and I was pretending we were playing a game of Mr. and Mrs. and I was playing the crowd, his wife, and the presenter. So I was having to jump between roles. And it was just like bonkers, but I just love being able to bring this to life, you know. Or you get people that are into kind of heavier stuff, you know, like pain and degradation and humiliation and all of these kind of things. But it's just so varied. Everyone is so unique. But the underlying motivation or premise of it is they just want to feel seen, heard and validated and just play something out and not have the world collapse around about them, you know.
Is there anything that you've refused to do? Like, has anybody come to you and you've been like, no, not a chance?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who try and like, and they're not really serious people, like they're not actually looking to book a session, they just want to have that reaction from you. That's what they're looking for. So there's a couple of guys actually, one guy who does the rounds, every time there's a new dom on the scene, guaranteed within a month of them starting an advertising, he will be on the phone and ask them to shave his wife's head. Every time, every new dom's had it. There's another guy who phones up and asks if you'll force feed him a live praying mantis. There's another guy who phones up, and by the way, hi guys that keep phoning and doing that. There's another guy.
They know about you.
We all talk about you. There's another guy that phones and says, he's like, hello mistress, do you do smoking fetish? And you go, no, I don't do smoking fetish. Okay. Could you roll me up like a big cigarette and smoke me? And I'm like, no. And then he hangs up.
Oh,
that's it.
Brilliant.
And there's some times where I'm just like, this is hilarious and I needed to hear that today, right? And it's funny. There's other times where you're in the middle of something, right? And you're like kind of in between sessions, I've maybe packed my diary a wee bit too much and whatever. And then he phones in the middle of it all and you're like, fuck up. Genuinely, just not today, pal. Not today. And I know what you're doing. You're trying to fulfill this wee kink and have a wee bit of titillation, but it's not happening. So yeah, there's a few that do the rounds, but mainly those are the ones that are like the ones that they're just done.
Do you get so is it mainly returning customers or clients, as you probably call them, or do you, is it, you know, what's it like? Do you get people that you, because obviously you've been doing it for 14 years. Have you been seeing anyone that's came back for every year continuously?
I still have the very first guy that I've ever seen. He's still my client. Very first session. And I've got a kind of funny story about that, actually. So we had a session together and after the session, so he didn't know it was my first session. And so after the session, he sent me this email and he said to me, that was the worst session I have ever had in my life. It was, I felt nothing. It was terrible. Like, I can't believe you're even a dominator. You really fucking went for it. Like, really went. And I, do you know what? I should probably dig out the email. And I was like, whoa, that was a lot, right? And I had a crossroads at that point. Like, I could have taken that on board and stopped doing what I'm doing. And where would I be right now? I don't know, right? Or I could choose to just keep going and get better. And that's what I chose. And and I always come back to that whenever I'm struggling with something, whenever I'm wondering, I'm like, I don't know if this, what I'm doing, that's quite hard, that I think I'm going to fail at, and I don't know if I can keep going. This might be the next best thing that I've ever done in my life, because look how Dorman turned out. And I keep that in mind every time that I'm going through. Like, even building my coaching business, there's been times where I've gone, I just want to walk away for this. And then I go, this might be the next best thing you've done, Hen.
Yeah. Whereabouts did the your alter ego name come from? Where was the inspiration from that?
So I remember sitting, I was staying at my mum's actually at this point. I remember sitting with my laptop on my knee in my bed, and I was like, right, I need to find a name here. And I thought, right, I want alliteration. I was studying geology as well, and I thought maybe I could do something like one of the geological minerals. So I thought malachite, which is quite a cool, it's kind of green colour. Mistress Malachite is quite good. And then I ended up down this whole rabbit hole of stuff, and I came across a group of sisters from Greek mythology called the Erinyes, or the Furies. And I was reading around them, and there was a Mistress Megara, there was Tisiphone, and there was Alecto as well, but there was no alliteration in there, and I wanted the alliteration. So I chose Megara, Megara Fury, and that's where it came from. But the three sisters were sent down by the gods to punish men Amazing. Who'd done bad things, and to, not to kill them, but to drive them to the point where they wanted to kill themselves because they'd suffered so badly. And I just thought, whoa, that is powerful. So that's who I picked. And then I realised later on that, I don't have the toy with me, that Megara Fury is actually Meg in the Disney cartoon.
In Hercules. Yeah, I was just about to say that.
The sassy one with the ponytail.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So yeah, that's amazing, because you've actually got like an actual sentimental reason, like it's like historic and things like that. It's great. You touched on like how you're thinking about your name when you're at your mum's. Does your mum know what you do? Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely. I've always
I need to be more you need everything. To you're like my inspiration now. I need to be more open like you. Just tell people. So say people wanted to bring a bit of kink into their relationship. Do you have kind of tips of how they can get started? Because obviously it's a wide range of things. So if they wanted to kind of go bare minimal, what would you kind of advise on doing?
So the first thing that I would probably do is to start looking around what kind of porn are they watching, right? Because that's going to give you an indication of some of the things that you might be into. Mm-hmm. And then start to look at what are some of the headings, right? So you've got your main headings, which are kind of like, you've got your bondage, right? Which is any form of restriction of movement. You've got your pain, and then you've got subsections to that, right? So different types of pain. Then you've got your humiliation, which could be verbal, it could be physical, it could be task-based. You've got your feminization, so dressing up and switching roles. You've got role play. You've got degradation, which is more kind of disgusting stuff, so eating things or being spat on and all of that kind of thing. So starting to look at some of those headings, okay, well, what appeals to me? Would I want to be restricted? One of the things that people don't realise is that they're probably already kinky. Mm-hmm. They just don't know these things have names. So if anyone's ever had their legs pinned during sex, right? You know, I don't know if it still happens, but for a while there was this trend that was going about where guys were like pulling your legs up, right, and then pinning them and then shagging you. So and if you enjoyed that, then that's a form of restriction of movement. So that's bondage. So you might be into bondage, right, and you're already doing bondage because your movement's been restricted. So then you can start to look, okay, how can I make that better? Do I want some cuffs? Do I want a harness? Do I want some ropes? Do I want chains? What do I want? If you've ever played, hard to get or chased someone that's been playing hard to get, then that can be a form of psychological mm-hmm. tease and denial, right? So a bit of teasing, a bit of flirting. So then you've got a wee head in there. You can look at, okay, what's in tease and denial? If you've ever, if you like doing it with the lights off or with music playing or like there's certain sensory things that you like, then you might want to look at what sensory play you're into, maybe sensory deprivation, so taking away your senses to heighten things. And that's another kinky thing as well. And if you've ever used sex as a punishment or a reward, right, not in an abusive way, but I mean like, well, mm-hmm. if you do that, you'll get this, right? Mm-hmm. Or you know, if you don't do that, you'll not get this, and it's excited you. And then that is a form of chastity. So then you can start to play with that kind of stuff. So it's about, you know, looking at your kind of porn habits and stuff, but also looking at what am I already doing that might actually be kinky?
Yeah.
And then how do we expand on that? Because the easiest place to start is with what you're already doing and just turn it up to 11. And that's... Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. If anybody wanted to become a dominatrix, how do they do that?
So it depends on what type of dominatrix they want to be and how far they want to go with it. So in the UK, it's actually illegal to procure anyone into the industry as if they are selling sex, right? And domination falls in a bit of a kind of greyer area. So in terms of becoming a dominatrix, then it needs to be off their own back.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I would like to just highlight is that once your stuff's online, it doesn't come off,
yeah.
right? You don't know if it's been screenshotted, shared, recorded, screen recorded. So before you even think about it, you have to be 100% comfortable that everything that you put online stays online forever, right? And that is something mm-hmm. that we miss. And we miss that out of the conversation. There's all this talk about, oh, we'll do OnlyFans and we'll make 10 grand a month and all of this stuff. But you don't, you, mm-hmm. and this is a lifetime thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's long. Be prepared. Everyone's going the assumption everyone's going to find out and you're never going to get your stuff offline.
Yeah.
And if you can be okay with that and you can really be with that and you know that that is your future, then that's when you should start to look at how to become a dominatrix. But that needs to be highlighted.
Sorry, when you go, Phil. Well, what I was going to say was during lockdown, I take it you were doing mainly virtual appointments. Is that right? Like, how does that work? Because obviously you're not physically able to do it, but you can speak it. How did that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, I could dominate an empty room, right? And it's not about films or anything like that, but... So I had to switch really quickly because instantly overnight all of my sessions cancelled. I had nothing, and I was already kind of coaching at that point. So I switched into mm-hmm. focusing more on the coaching side, also in terms of the domination side. I started doing a lot more online stuff, so OnlyFans, Admire Me, and Clips for Sale. And then I signed up to Domline, which is like a phone line thing. People were phoning me when I was in the supermarket.
Hi, how can I help you?
I'm like, I don't have my club card here. It's so funny. So I ended up doing a lot of online stuff. Then I jumped on to adult work. And when I was on adult work, it was kind of like, I'm sitting there and I can't see the person I'm speaking to. And there's a lag in me communicating and them getting the communication, right? And then I'm also waiting for like someone probably one finger typing back to me, this whatever I need back. It was so stressful, like, because of all that delay and try to like, pretend mm-hmm. I'm still interested and no. So I just found mm-hmm. that it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Well, to finish off the podcast, we normally play a quick game with our guests, and it's just a yes. Oh, it's just an option. So we give you kind of two things, and you choose either or. So it's just
okay.
And then the reasoning behind it.
So the first one would be, obviously you're in a relationship, but just maybe think out with this. Would you prefer dating apps or meeting in person?
Can I have both? Because that's how I met.
One or the other. It's either meeting them in person or a dating app, meeting off a date.
All right, Phil.
I've met the last two relationships that I've had off dating apps. So I'd say dating apps.
Dating apps. Question two, for a first date, would you rather coffee or dinner?
Coffee.
Any reason why?
Less commitment, because I don't want to have to sit for a two-hour dinner with someone. That's how me and Andy had our first date. We had a coffee and a donut, walked around the park, and then we met up again that night.
The best date. Question three,
when messaging, do you prefer to text or voice notes?
I do a lot of texting, but I prefer voice notes. I'm mainly text.
Yeah, same. I'm voice noter. Would you be more nervous? Oh, actually, were you more nervous about meeting your partner's family or friends?
Oh, I would say family, because his family are so important to him, and I wanted to make sure that I made a good impression. So definitely.
And lastly, trust. Does someone have to earn it, or do you trust straight away?
So I believe that trust doesn't come from that person, it comes from me. So I always come from a place of trust, because I trust myself that I'll be able to handle whatever they do. So that's, and trust always comes from here, not from over there. So yeah.
That's an amazing way to look at it. Oh, perfect. So for the final part of the episode, we do final thoughts, where we look back at the episode and we look at one thing we're going to take away from it, whether something we found funny, something we found interesting, etc., etc. So Jane, take it away.
I can't believe someone would want their balls tied to their toes and run. that's the thing, like, as much as I think I know about, you know, what it can involve, there's probably loads I just don't know that people would ask for, that they request. And I find it so fascinating, because obviously you're a coach as well, so you'll probably know like the background as to why they want that kind of why they want that done. So I just find it so fascinating. Yeah. So I think you've got an incredible job. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Andrea, what would be your final thought?
So I think my final thought is just that although you might think that you're not kinky right now, you are, and everyone is kinky, and you just don't know that it's got names. So whatever you need to give up in order to explore that, give it up and go and have a great time in the bedroom and out with.
And Phil, what's your final thought?
I took away the fact where you said about not giving up, because it could be like the best thing to ever happen to you, and it's true in so many situations in life where people give up. But what would happen if you didn't give up? You know, that's, you don't know where you're going to be if you do give up. But that was for me. But I want to thank you for coming on, and if anyone wants to find out more about your coaching or anything like that, where could they find you?
So for women, if you want to find out about coaching, then I have a Facebook group, and it's Power-Full, F-U-L-L, Women. If you go on Facebook, it's facebook.com/groups/IAmPowerful, F-U-L-L. There's no dash in it though, so it's just one word. I am powerful. I am giving everybody that joins the group a free guide on how to coach themselves, and loads of different resources for free. And I do a Thursday night, I do a live session. So I coach people live on a Thursday night. In terms of the kink stuff, then you can find me on Twitter. So it's @MegaraFury, F-U-R-I-E. Or you can email me for my booking link, which is megarafury@gmail.com.
That's amazing. And thank you so much for coming on, because I've always wanted a dominatrix on here, and now we have one.
Brilliant. Amazing. Thanks so much for asking me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we're going to say our final goodbye. Anyone else kind of joins in?
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.